Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting live on the Game Nashville app as well. We started our previews around the NFL, and of course we started with the NFC North, a division that I'm pretty intrigued by, if I'm being honest, because I think there's some teams that you can't really figure out, and one of them might be the Green Bay Packers. And Rob Domofsky is nice enough to join us from ESPN, covers the Packers for them. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Chase. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And I said before we came on the air, how are you enjoying the Jordan Love era? Let's start with that. I mean, that is obviously the biggest change that organization has had since Brett Favre turned the keys over to Aaron Rodgers. Now Aaron Rodgers is with the Jets. So what have you seen thus far in camp from Jordan Love?
Yeah, basically, I think it's been about what we've expected. There's been some days where Jordan Love's looked really good, and then there's been some days and some drills where he and the offense has really struggled. And I don't know that that's a huge surprise at this point. The one thing that I would think, you know, the Packers would probably like to have seen more from at this point is just, you know, more days where you walk off the field and you go, okay, I can see why, you know, this guy is going to be a good player. There's been a couple of them. There just haven't been a ton of them. Now, you know, I don't know that I can sit here and swear that 15 years ago I thought differently about Aaron Rodgers' first training camp as a starter in 2008. It's easy to say now that, oh, yeah, I remember thinking he's going to be really good. The one thing I definitely remember about that transition from Favre to Rodgers was that Rodgers' arm strength was really, really good. Jordan Love has repeatedly, there have been comments from Matt LaFleur basically saying that Jordan Love needs to just cut it loose. And to me, you know, the translation, what does that mean? It's he needs to just throw the ball hard, right? And just worry about the consequences later. And I just don't know that we've seen him, you know, let it rip quite yet.
There's a lot of questions centered around whether this is going to work, or that can stem from whether this is going to work or not. Obviously, that's tied to Matt LaFleur as the head coach. But the organization didn't bring in a veteran, really, to back up Jordan Love. I mean,
no.
there's young guys on the roster in that quarterback room. So is this truly, in your mind, an all-or-nothing thing?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is going to be a – basically, Jordan Love's got a two-year trial, right? I mean, they extended his contract through 2024 – which basically tells you that, you know, they're going to figure out between now and next year if he's their guy. And if not, you know, then they probably got to go draft somebody. They'll never say it, and they've denied it, but this is a rebuilding year. So, you know, to go out and sign a Carson Wentz, who's probably going to want $6 or $7 or $8 or $10 million, I just don't know that it's worth it. You know, they're going to be in a rebuilding mode. You've got to find out, you know, whether Jordan Love is your guy long-term or not. So, I mean, yeah, I guess if there's an injury, you know, it's at the quarterback position, you know, now you've got whoever the backup ends up being, whether it's Danny Etling, who's never played an NFL snap, and he's been in the NFL for 6 years and at least six different years of training camp. And then you've got a rookie fifth-round pick in Sean Clifford out of Penn State, who's been okay. But again, he's a rookie. And then the fourth quarterback is the MVP of the USFL. So, you know, there isn't anyone behind Jordan Love that you think, okay, well, if they're a decent team and they're in it and Love gets hurt, can anybody keep it going? No, I don't think that's a situation that you'd say right now. Now, I mentioned Carson Wentz. I mean, he is still out there. I think Teddy Bridgewater is still out there. I mean, those are a couple guys that maybe, you know, the price just keeps going down the longer they're out of it.
I mentioned Matt LaFleur, the head coach. Obviously, we're familiar with him here in Nashville. Yep. He was Mike Vrabel's offensive coordinator in his first year. And, I mean, that year offensively wasn't great by any means. But we've seen what he's done in Green Bay. Having Aaron Rodgers will help that. But is to this, in your mind, now the biggest test for him as a head coach is – he takes this into a new era?
Yeah, I mean, look, when he got the job, his job was to fix Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers wasn't very good in 2017 and 2018. He was hurt in most of 2017 with a collarbone. 2018, he had basically given up on Mike McCarthy's offense and you know, sort of became the, you know, he basically he was out to to get McCarthy fired in 2018. So he, you know, that was his job in 2019, was to get Aaron Rodgers back to an MVP level, and Rodgers won two MVPs. Now, obviously, they didn't get to a Super Bowl. His job completely different. Now, there's this notion that LaFleur, I think, finds somewhat comical, is that now we're going to finally see what Matt LaFleur's offense really looks like, because Aaron Rodgers ran a version of it, but if Aaron Rodgers didn't like the play call, Aaron Rodgers pretty much changed the play. And there was a lot from, as much as Rodgers complained about McCarthy, there was actually a lot that he still liked and wanted carried over from the McCarthy offense that LaFleur sort of put in his offense that really wasn't the Matt LaFleur offense. Now, LaFleur has said several times that this is not my offense, it's our offense. But a week or so ago, Chase, Packers president Mark Murphy got up in front of the team's shareholders and said, literally, I think we'll see what Matt LaFleur's offense is really like now, which is the team president saying that. And you know, so LaFleur, you know, can sort of deny or underplay that all he wants. But when the team president, even he says, yeah, I think we're going to see Matt's offense now. And what is Matt's offense? Well, it's the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, pre-snap motion kind of thing. And heck, it might be more like what it looked like in Tennessee in 2018 than it's looked like here, you know, just from, I don't mean from a result standpoint, but just from a scheme and sort of play design standpoint.
Well, that kind of leads me to my next question, because how much more do you, because I look at the receiver room and obviously Christian Watson's there and there's like 25 in camp, but I mean, I think it's kind of a position battle right now outside of Watson. How much more pressure is that going to put on Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon and the run game as a whole?
Well, for years, it's always been like, why don't you use Aaron Jones more, right? Like, that's been like his whole career, really. I think this is his seventh year. And for 6 years, you know, everyone from reporters to fantasy football types to whoever is complaining that, you know, asking why they don't use Aaron Jones more. Well, now they're going to have to use him. A.J. Dillon, you know, didn't have actually a great year last year. He's in a contract year, so he's obviously got a lot to prove. But look, you know, you mentioned Christian Watson. He's their big play guy. They also drafted two other guys last year in that draft with Watson. Romeo Doubs was actually a fourth-round pick. Had some really good production in the first half of last year, sort of before Watson came on. But by the time Watson came on, Dobbs had an ankle injury and wasn't the same. So, like, their two starting receivers are second-year guys. But really, in some senses, they're rookies in this regard. They hardly played together last year. When one was healthy, the other was out, and vice versa. I think they had about 95 snaps on the field together last year. But they ended up, you know, they drafted another guy in the second round this year, Jaden Reed, who might be the slot receiver. So they're going to have – the top three receivers are probably those three guys, maybe Samari Toure, who's also a second-year guy. Essentially, they have nobody in the NFL, nobody who's played more than one season in the NFL on their receiving corps.
Yeah, and that blows me away. When looking
to me, the question more wasn't why didn't you get a veteran quarterback, it's why didn't you get a veteran receiver. And then if you look at tight end, same thing. They let Robert Tonyan leave in free agency. They let Mercedes Lewis, he is still unsigned. He's 89 years old or whatever, but they didn't bring him back. So they just drafted two more tight ends, Luke Musgrave in the second round and Tucker Kraft in the third round. Those are essentially probably their top two tight ends. So they're young at receiver. They're young at tight end. They do have an experienced offensive line, especially if the left side with David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins, both Pro Bowlers, if they're healthy. And they're young in the backfield, but they're experienced in the backfield, but they're younger quarterback. So it's like all or nothing. They either have a ton of experience or they have no experience.
DeAndre Hopkins signs in Nashville. Was he ever a thought in Green Bay?
I don't think so. That's just not been their MO here. You know, they just rarely do those types of things. You know, a couple of years ago when it was Odell Beckham Jr., like they're not willing to pay that kind of market price. And really, to be honest with you, with the way they're, you know, taking the salary cap hit from moving on from Rodgers, what is it, $40 million hit on their cap, they don't have a lot of room to work with. And I think that their philosophy is, let's just take, you know, let's just suffer through this year, you know, be in a somewhat of a tough salary cap position, build young, and then add to it next offseason when they actually do have some more cap space.
Obviously, we've spent a lot of time in the offense. The defensive line, I know Kenny Clark is the veteran, but what else are you seeing out of that defensive front?
Yeah, Devontae Wyatt, who was the 28th pick in the draft last year. Remember, they had two first-round picks. Yeah. They took Quay Walker, linebacker, at 22. He started pretty much every game, had a really good rookie year, except for the fact that he got thrown out of two games, which was kind of a an ugly mark on his otherwise decent rookie season. But their other first-round pick was Wyatt, really good defensive tackle. He really didn't play a lot last year. I think he played like 225 defensive snaps, because they not only had Kenny Clark, but they had two veterans, Dean Lowry and Jaron Reed. Both of those veterans are now gone. And Devontae Wyatt has really had a good camp. I mean, again, I know it's camp, but the other day in practice, he was dominant in the one-on-one pass rushing drills. He had what would have been a sack, in a team period. Now they don't let anybody actually hit the quarterback, so it wasn't really a sack, but it would have been. So they're expecting big things from him. And I mentioned, Quay Walker. Yeah, he's an inside linebacker, but they're going to line him up. Don't be surprised to see him line up all over the place on the defensive line, in the middle, on the edge. They have eight former first round picks on this defense, eight, and their pressure is on that group to really try to be better than they were last year. I mean, it was not a good defensive football team for most of the year last year. And they have so much talent, and there is a lot of pressure. As much pressure as there is on Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, I'd say there's as much or more on defensive coordinator Joe Barry, because it is not for a lack of talent up there.
In these previews, I don't ask about kicker a whole lot, but there's a kicker battle here in Nashville. Mason Crosby, is not there right now, at least. Yep. Anders Carlson, the rookie out of Auburn. How is that looking, and could they potentially bring Crosby back?
If Carlson keeps them going the way he is, they're going to have to bring somebody else in, because the first day he kicked, he was 5 for 6, looked okay. Next day, 2 for 7, not good. Next day, 5 for 8, not really good. I don't have it written down, but I think that's like 12 out of 21 so far, 12 out of 20 maybe in three practices. And, they drafted this kid, in the 6th round, which, it's high for a kicker. They obviously like his talent, but for years, Mason Crosby, was the guy here, basically going all the way back to 2007. And it's just, it's different right now. But again, it goes back to what kind of team do they have, and, do they want to pay a kicker when they're probably rebuilding anyway, and they need to find, Mason Crosby's 38, 39 years old. Eventually you have to move on. So I just think that's why they've gone the way they have. But I can't sit here in early August and tell you that Anders Carlson is definitely going to be their kicker. Oddly, they don't have another kicker in camp. So they have two punters, but they don't have, and they have two long snappers, but they do not have a second kicker.
Very interesting for sure. Rob, appreciate the time today, and we'll be watching, we'll be reading, because it is kind of fascinating there in Green Bay right now.
It's definitely a different storyline, Chase. Thanks for having me.
Rob Domofsky, ESPN.com, covers the Packers for them, and as we continue along in our previews, because like I said, it's an interesting time in Green Bay, and an interesting division where everybody's picking Detroit. We'll talk about them tomorrow here on the program. It's Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, right now I have your chance to win single day passes to the Bourbon and Beyond Festival in Louisville, Kentucky, Thursday, September 14th through Sunday, September 17th. Just text in the keyword September, SEPTEMBER. I feel like I'm in a spelling bee. September to 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of passes to the Thursday show that features Brandi Carlile, Billy Strings, Train, and more. Text September to 615-737-1025 right now. It's Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.